back. It is your host, John Steinmetz, as usual. I'm here bringing you a new episode on Browns offseason and season preview. To start things off, we're going to start with the biggest topic going around on Browns camp right now. And that is Duke Johnson. He is getting a new agent amongst his trade request rumors. And his new agent is Drew Rosenhaus. He's the one who got Emmanuel Ogba traded to Kansas City, got Breshad Perriman out of his one-year deal after the Browns traded for Odell Beckham. And it looks like Duke Johnson is making a statement saying, I really do want to get out of Cleveland. It's a shame because, you know, he was one of those players that was a big key piece of this offense. But at the same time, when you see a top five running back get signed to the team, you kind of think, well, what is my need here? I wouldn't blame him. Seeing that Nick Chubb has exploded into the second round steal that he is, almost coming up on a 1,000-yard season, being a rookie and not even playing most of the games, most of his yards came from huge explosive 80-plus touchdown runs. It's the same thing with Breshad Perriman. When he signed that one-year deal, he saw that he was a fit in Cleveland. He played really well last season, but then when he saw Odell Beckham get traded, it's like, then what's the point of me being here? I want to go somewhere that I feel wanted. Granted, you know, these players probably are being wanted by the Browns, but they just don't have the need for them necessarily. With Nick Chubb going to be the lead horse, and when Kareem Hunt comes off his 8-game suspension, there's no real spot for Duke Johnson. Granted, they could hold on to him until before Kareem Hunt comes back, but it's more of, will Duke Johnson actually participate with the team? Some landing spots that I can see for Duke Johnson, definitely the Arizona Cardinals. They need that 1-2 punch at running back. With David Johnson being the only one there, and I guess you can consider Kyler Murray a running back, they don't really have that one solid receiving back. The team that I think of that's ever really pulled this off really was the Atlanta Falcons with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, and the Patriots with Rex Burkhead, LeGarrette Blount, you know, Sony Michel, James White. You never really knew what was going to happen. Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, yeah, Devontae Freeman was the, you know, powerhouse running back, and Tevin Coleman was mainly the receiving back. But at the same time, Tevin Coleman could run the ball. But now he's in San Fran, and that's another landing spot I can see for Duke Johnson is the Atlanta Falcons. Give Devontae Freeman that free workload that he used to have with Tevin Coleman. Granted, another spot can be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have so many running backs on their roster right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They don't even know who they're going to keep right now. You know, they've drafted Ronald Jones out of USC, and they didn't really see him as their starting back. Granted, he was, you know, a second, third-round pick. He's only a rookie. It's in a system to where they don't really like running the ball much. They can't really trust anyone ever since Doug Martin. They cut Doug Martin from the team a couple years ago. So they're still trying to find that fit that they needed. It's hard to find a new running back to replace Doug Martin, who was lighting up the league just 3-4 years ago. So another place I can see Duke Johnson going is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So you have the Cardinals pairing up with David Johnson, Duke Johnson, DJ Squared. You go to the Falcons, you would have Devontae Freeman and Duke Johnson, the good old throwing, running, running back combo. You don't really know what's going to come, but you kind of have an idea. And the Buccaneers, you know, a veteran like Duke Johnson comes in, pretty much guaranteed to have a starting spot, but it's just a shot at a tryout. His 3-year contract extension that he just signed won't kick in until this season. He's still on his rookie deal, technically, and it won't start until this season. So if the Browns do get a chance to trade Duke Johnson, they'll save some money. Yeah, they'll have some cap hit, but they might save somewhere in between $7 to $10 million. On to my next topic, and that is, will Greedy Williams silence the critics? His biggest criticism coming from college through the combine to the NFL draft was that he needs to improve his tackling. You know, it's almost kind of hard for a corner who is about 6'2", 6'3", to be a proficient tackler. But for a corner that comes from the SEC system, especially LSU, you would think, you know, someone who comes from that kind of system would be a proficient tackler. Reading over his draft combine, his strengths and weaknesses, a lot of the weaknesses, you know, there's about 10, 12 different weaknesses there, but they kind of all add up to the same thing. He needs to get stronger, needs to hit the weight room, put more muscle on, and become a better tackler in the run game, open field, and kind of one-on-one with the receiver coming off of the line. I think Greedy Williams can do it. It's always a chip off of his it's a chip on someone's shoulder when someone gets bad criticism. You know, that's kind of how I thought with Denzel Ward. Everyone thought he got drafted too high. Use that as criticism. Use that as motivation. Take it and put it in your mindset every time you step on the field. Denzel Ward got selected to a Pro Bowl as a rookie. Granted, you know, he missed a few games here and there with concussion issues, but he didn't let that faze him. He didn't have that many interceptions in college either. He had 2 total interceptions in college. His first year in the NFL, he had 3 interceptions. Greedy Williams just needs to think like that, shut the critics down, get better on tackling, and just hit the weight room some more. Just put some muscle on yourself. The NFL offseason training camps is what that's made for. You know, I've seen the Browns through their little building the Browns on YouTube, the Hard Knocks. They have special guest people come in. Last season they had Chuck the Iceman Liddell come in and teach them how to better defend themselves. By doing that, by defending yourself better, you're building up your reflexes. Greedy just needs to find something else that he can do that can also pertain to football. Miles Garrett right now, he was training with Stipe Miocic, former heavyweight UFC fighter. He's still fighting, but he just lost the title a couple of weeks ago. But he's doing something else to help build himself better. I've always said that a two-way athlete is better than someone who could be a 5-star athlete in something else. Give me a 4-star player in football that can also play baseball and football or basketball and football or volleyball and football. I'll take him over a 5-star athlete. Being able to have multiple muscle memories for different sports means that your body can do a lot more. And that's all Greedy Williams needs to do. He did track in college. That's why he's so fast for his height. So if he could just take that track and field knowledge and speed and just put on some muscle in the weight room, this kid's going to be probably a lockdown corner in the NFL. On to my next topic, is will the Browns' new offense live up to the hype? Here I have a list of some of the big names that are on the Browns' offense. I have their old stats from last season. I'm going to predict what they're going to be for next season. Let's start off with who I thought should have been the rookie of the year for offense. But that's just my opinion. That's Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield last season had 3,725 yards, 27 touchdowns, put a asterisk on that, the rookie touchdown throwing record now, 14 interceptions, and 93.7 rating. And some people were like, well, his rating is so high because he only played, you know, just a little bit of the season. Well, yeah, he pretty much didn't play the first 2.5 games of the season. But then I can counter-argument by saying that, well, then how come broke the rookie touchdown passing record if he only played the certain amount of games? Well, that's because they played the schedule. Well, Lamar Jackson, he was in the same situation. He's in the same conference. Sam Darnold, he's on the same conference, but he was in the same situation. He didn't come in until, the second week, third week? And then you have those fans, you know, especially Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd is the biggest anti-Baker Mayfield person ever. He loves Sam Darnold so much. And then you have the Jets fans that are like, well, the Jets play in a harder division. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, the Jets play against the Dolphins twice a year. They play against the Bills twice a year. The only tough team in their division is the Patriots. The Browns have the Steelers, the Ravens, who were the number one defense last year, and the Bengals. Bengals are always a hit and miss. You never know what's going to happen with them. But Sam Darnold's stats last season had a 57.7 completion percentage, only 2,865 yards, 17 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and a 77.6 QBR. You're telling me that Sam Darnold had a hard time, that Baker Mayfield had the easy way out. Browns had a pretty tough schedule last year, not going to lie. The Jets, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to them. All I know is that Baker Mayfield is the better quarterback of this last year's rookie class. I'll be the first one to admit, I didn't want the Browns to take Baker Mayfield number 1 overall. I thought Sam Darnold was going to be the next guy. they are comparing him to Andrew Luck. That's all I can think about. They're comparing him to Andrew Luck because Andrew Luck was the last QB that had all this hype around him. Sam Darnold, you know, he's a tall, big build quarterback with a big arm. I just didn't take a closer look at Baker. The thing that you want is completions. Am I wrong? Baker Mayfield was the most accurate quarterback coming out of this draft 2 years ago. I didn't look at that. Yeah, I said it here and there, but I didn't look into it like I should have. Granted, I had Baker Mayfield my top three. I had it going Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen. I was on the Josh Allen train, I'll admit that, because of his big arm. When you see a quarterback who can throw like that, that's pretty talented. That's pretty darn good. But for next season, I see Baker Mayfield hitting the 4,000-yard range, probably the 30-33 touchdown range, sitting around the same interceptions between 14 and 17, and probably sitting around the same QBR, around 90-95%. Moving on to my next player is Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb had a phenomenal year, only playing here and there until they traded Carlos Hyde. Nick Chubb had 192 attempts, 996 yards, and 8 touchdowns. For a rookie who did not play that much and was 4 yards short of 1,000 yards, I'm telling you what, if he could start every single game next year, I wouldn't be surprised if he hits 1,700, 2,000 yards next season. Wouldn't be surprised if he bumps his touchdowns up to 12, 13 touchdowns next year. And his attempts are probably going to go between 200 and 300 attempts next year. That's my guess for Nick Chubb. Moving on to the hands machine himself, that's Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry had 81 receptions, 976 yards, and 4 touchdowns. There's been years where Jarvis has had 4 touchdowns in Miami, but almost about 300 more yards receiving. As long as Jarvis can catch the ball and move it up the field, that helps the team out. Jarvis isn't really someone who cares about his own numbers. He cares about the team. So his receptions, I can see them sitting around the same with Odell Beckham coming in. I would like to see his yards get bumped up to maybe 1,000, 1,200 area. And his touchdowns, we can sit at the 6-8 range. Odell Beckham, the newly acquired tradee from the New York Giants, he had 77 receptions, 1,052 yards, 6 touchdowns, and only played 12 games last year. For his next year's stats, I can see him sitting around the 80 to 90 receptions, probably 1,100 receiving yards. Let's shoot for an 8 to 10 touchdown range, and he's going to play all next season. David Njoku, this is a guy that I really want to see explode. When he first got drafted, they did a sports science thing on him. They're saying that he has a higher and bigger catch radius than Mike Evans. If you don't know who Mike Evans is, Mike Evans is kind of like another Megatron. You know, Calvin Johnson. He is a big-bodied wide receiver that can just jump up in the air and catch it. And for David Njoku, being that kind of guy at the tight end position, that's what you expect. If he can transform into that, no pun intended on the, you know, Megatron thing, with his speed, it just needs to work on his pass blocking just a little bit. David Njoku could be one of the top tight ends in the league. Last season, he had 56 receptions, 639 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That's not that bad for a tight end, but I want to see those get higher. For his receptions, I want to see him get between 60 and 70 next year. His yards, let's see the 650, 750 area. And touchdowns, I want to see that bump up to 8. Because from his rookie year 2 years ago to last season, he doubled his receiving and his receptions and his receiving yards. So if he can double it 1 year, let's double it 2 years in a row. Kareem Hunt, the good old one-year million-dollar contract signing, who's a top-5 running back without the off-the-field issues. When he comes back, it's going to be 8 games into the season. He's going to have very, very fresh legs. He can play in preseason. I think that's what's nice about the NFL. The NFL is like, hey, we know we suspended you for a certain thing, probably drugs, off-the-field issues like this, but we'll let you play in the 4 games. But you're still suspended for the rest of the year. So we'll get to see what Kareem Hunt looks like in a Browns uniform for 4 games or 3, depending on how many they choose to play him in. But last season, he had 181 attempts, 824 yards, and 7 touchdowns. looking, I'm just comparing at these Nick Chubb stats. They're almost the exact same, and Kareem Hunt almost had more yards than Nick Chubb on, what is that, about 10 less carries. That's just phenomenal to me. And Kareem Hunt could be a receiving back, too. We've seen that happen, too. So this tandem of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb next season, halfway through the season, is going to be disgusting. I'm just saying that right now. But for the attempts, we could see them probably get lowered just a tad, probably 150, 140 around there. For the yards, it's not going to be an 824. I would like it to be, but you never know. But I'm going to say between 500 and 700 yards. And touchdowns, it's probably going to be the same because Kareem Hunt might be put in that goal line situation, either passing or running. So it's definitely going to be exciting to see. We can stick him around the 7 touchdowns. For my next subject, what I'm excited for most this next season is the defense. The Browns' defense hasn't been this good since I think when Joe Hayden was in his second or third year with the Browns. Browns used to have a top 10 defense every year. The new defensive additions, you know, you have Sheldon Richardson on the line, Olivier Vernon on the line, Greedy Williams, the second-round pick, Sione Takitaki, the third-round pick, Sheldrick Redwine, the third-round pick, and Mac Wilson, the steal fifth-round pick. The reason why I'm so excited for Mac Wilson is because he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school to Alabama, and the first, I want to say, probably 5 or 6 games of the college season, he was looking like a first-round or early second-round pick. And injuries just came along. Something just wasn't working right with him, and that's when his draft stock fell. Fun fact about Mac Wilson, he is actually the first Alabama player drafted by the Cleveland Browns organization. Cleveland Browns have been around for a very long time. Besides the fact that Freddie Kitchens played for Alabama, he is the first Alabama player to be drafted. I'm really excited to see how he plays. He's definitely one of those guys, if he can find a hole in the O-line and the running back needs to get through it, is more than likely the running back's not going to make it through because Mac Wilson's going to be there to blow it up. My second to last topic is what I'm excited for is the combo of Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams. Like I said, Greedy Williams just needs to improve those few things, improve his tackling, hit the gym, keep the speed going, and just put on some muscle. That's all you got to do. Be like Dante Whitner, but better. Williams had 8 interceptions in college, 2 his last season, and 6 in 2017. That was a lot for a freshman because that's what earned him SEC Freshman of the Year. Like I said, Denzel Ward only had 2 interceptions his whole career at Ohio State. Denzel Ward then listened to the critics for saying that he got drafted too high, but granted, that was one of the needs that the Browns needed at the time. Don't get me wrong, it would have been awesome to see the combo of Bradley Chubb and Myles Garrett. But, I mean, they have Olivier Vernon now. You know, he's getting up in there in age and is a little overpaid. But you have Myles Garrett, Larry Ogunjobi, Sheldon Richardson, and Olivier Vernon. Now, tell me that's not a disgusting defensive line. And with if Greedy Williams does good in preseason, you're going to have Greedy Williams, Denzel Ward, Terrence Mitchell, E.J. Gaines, Demaryius Randall, Sheldrick Redwine. I can go on forever with these DBs. That secondary is going to be pretty loaded. It's going to be pretty stacked. There's going to be fresh legs every single play, and it's going to be hard for teams to play against that. So I'm really excited to see what Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams can do together. Last but not least, when I was looking for information to talk about the Browns, I was looking at Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report's a pretty good source for sports news. They share stuff from all over the web. It's kind of like a little mini Wikipedia or a Facebook. You just post random links on there. A Reddit, if you're into that. But I saw Daniel Jeremiah, who is an NFL analyst and on Bleacher Report, has his own podcast, Moving the Sticks. And he said, my top 5 candidates for NFL Defensive Player of the Year next year. At the top of that list is Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett last year had 44 tackles and 13.5 sacks, and 35 of those 44 tackles were solo. Like I just said, with the additions of Greedy Williams, Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson, that defensive line is going to be hard to pick, hey, who am I going to block? Usually it was a double-team block on Myles Garrett, and Larry Ogunjobi would get the sack. With Emmanuel Agba still there, he would get some sacks here and there. But with Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson, Larry Ogunjobi, Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett might get a lot of solo blocks this season. And the schedule's looking pretty nice for him to get that defensive NFL MVP. The list goes Myles Garrett, the reigning defensive MVP, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, Derwin James. It's going to be pretty hard to see what a safety can do, but hey, Sean Taylor did it. And if he can do it, anybody can do it. But that's all I have for you on this episode of Browns news, you know, upcoming news, training camp news, whatever you want. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll see you guys in the future for the next one.